LaTroy Guyon's suspension has been upheld by the NFL. We'll discuss the impact on the Packers' defensive line, and we'll also have a preview of Saturday's preseason home opener as the Packers host the Eagles. We'll be joined by Packers Spanish language announcer Kevin Holden of Telemundo, Wisconsin. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Fans, welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for a game upcoming against the Philadelphia Eagles on Saturday night, the preseason home opener. And to preview that game, we have a guest joining us on the line.
Expert interview.
We have Kevin Holden, the Packers Spanish language broadcast announcer on Telemundo, Wisconsin. Mr. Holden, how you doing this morning?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Always good to talk Packers football, especially at the start of a new season. It's an exciting time of year. Everybody's starting with the zeros on both sides of the scoreboard and hoping the Packers can put some wins up to start this year.
I'm right there with you. Kevin, let's start. We got to start with the news of the day. The suspension to LaTroy Guyon, it was upheld by the NFL. Now we'll know he'll be out for three games during the start of the regular season. How do you feel about the Packers' defensive line at the outset of the regular season?
Yeah, you're looking at a different look to this unit for sure, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that Daytone Jones is also out for that first game of the regular season. So you're missing two guys you could call them veteran presences. That might be a little bit of a stretch to say that about Daytone, but certainly LaTroy Guyon, as good as he was and as surprising as he was last year, it's a big loss to start the year. I mean, you've still got B.J. Raji, but you don't have the B.J. Raji of 2010, 2011. Mike Daniels, of course, the star at this point of this group. But, when you lose Guyon, you lose a Daytone Jones, you're looking at a guy, I mean, like a Kyrie Thornton or a Josh Boyd, someone that will need to step into a role and immediately step up as a starter along that defensive front. It's going to be a little difficult to put the same kind of pressure they want to put on the quarterback without those two guys, Guyon and Jones. Fortunately, if Jones just out the one game, just that Bears game, then it'll be a little easier for the home opener. But it loses a little bit of punch when you've got both those guys, Guyon and Jones, out to start the year.
Yeah, I know. I'm worried about the Packers facing Matt Forte, Marshawn Lynch, and Jamal Charles to open the season. We'll see if the Packers defense can hold up without them. Let's talk about this game Saturday night. You'll be calling the action on Telemundo, Wisconsin. What does the situation look like on the offensive line? We know there were kind of three starters missing during practice this week.
Yeah, you're looking at some changes along that offensive front, and it has as much to do, I think, with protection as anything. You know, the truth is, offensively, Jordy Nelson's injury Sunday against the Steelers is going to change. Philosophically, it's going to change what they want to do offensively because the pieces start to fall. Then your first thought is, okay, you've got two preseason games to work guys out, and when I saw this happen, when Nelson went down with the injury, I thought, okay, they're not going to act out of fear in this case. They've got to keep going. And then the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, it's not fear. It's the fact that the last thing on earth that you would want is to have something happen to another one of your offensive starters. And you remember later in that Steelers game, it was a safety. And I'm blanking on who it was that gave it up. It was Barclay, right?
Barclay, yeah.
So with Barclay giving that up, your thought, I mean, there's this moment of panic, right? I mean, you think, okay, look, we cannot have Aaron Rodgers dinged up in any way whatsoever. So it, with that being the case, if you've got three offensive linemen out, then it makes sense to start sitting these other guys too. But now what happens, I think, in a game like this one that's coming up against the Eagles, names like Lane Taylor, like Josh Walker, obviously Don Barclay, some of these guys, J.C. Treader, you're looking at the second level there on the depth chart, guys that can step in and make an impact. And then I guess there's your silver lining in this, is that you literally have two preseason games in which you can have backups and third-string guys play the entire game and hope that they can make an impact, hope that they can crack this lineup, show the coaches something for September 13th. Because, honestly, I think if I'm Mike McCarthy, those starters hardly see the field at all these next two preseason games.
Well, that leads right into my question. I mean, will Aaron Rodgers play at all on Saturday night? Will he play a series and come out of the game? What do you think will happen there?
I saw the Rob Domofsky report from ESPN.com that Rodgers may not see the field again the entire preseason. It's sad because, you know, if you're a fan and you purchase tickets for either of these two games, we've got a family friend who's coming up from Atlanta, and she was talking about going to that last game against the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not, you know, as deep a football fan as we are. So she wants to see Aaron Rodgers, you know, The truth is, she'd see him in something that wouldn't even be like a family night setting. He may come out and wave, and they may send him back up the tunnel for safety's sake. You know, I really don't think you'll see him much. At the most, you may see him a series in that last preseason game. But I think there's some truth to the fact that they don't want anyone else hurt on that offensive unit in this third preseason game.
So we don't have Aaron Rodgers. They're probably not going to have Scott Tolzien either because he suffered a concussion the last game. Are we looking at maybe a half for Brett Hundley and a half for Matt Blanchard?
I think you got it exactly right. I think those two are going to see an awful lot of the field. And, you know, I don't think either of them found the success that they quite wanted to against the Steelers in preseason game number two. So this will be a good chance for them to get some extended time. It reminds me just a little bit of what happened a couple years ago in Kansas City with Vince Young, where they basically just turned him loose and said, "Vince, you're going to play a ton of time in this game.
Mm-hmm.
See what you got. Let's see if you have what it takes to stay with us." It's an extended tryout against an opposition. It didn't work out that day for Vince, but for Hundley and Blanchard, I think it's going to be fruitful for both guys. I mean, Hundley in the future, and by that I mean a few years down the road, has the potential to really step in and be something. I mean, he's, you know, just starting on his NFL journey. So this will be valuable time for him. And for Blanchard, you know, the space is probably not going to be there for a guy like Blanchard. But, you know, the thing is about the preseason, other scouts, other teams are there to see guys play, and some of these guys in these third and fourth preseason games are playing for jobs with other teams, and that may end up being the case. Blanchard may end up somewhere else because of what he does Saturday.
Yeah. All right, so with Jordy Nelson out, I think the attention is now on, you know, how did the Packers go about replacing him? What should we be watching for among the wide receivers Saturday evening?
I think one of the biggest things you got to see is Jeff Janis and what Jeff Janis is able to do with the opportunity that's been presented to him, because this could be the first time that I've seen a player in a preseason game have a play like that complete whiff on the punt and then actually move up the depth chart. Again, that's not to take away from the other stuff that Janis has done, especially last preseason, first part of this preseason. The speed is obviously there. But there's some rawness that they're trying to work through. They need to polish him some to get him ready for game action. So you want to know who slots in behind Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams. No fear in my mind about those two guys. But you want to see what Jeff Janis does. You want to see, obviously, Ty Montgomery work his way into this greater role that he's going to have in Nelson's absence. And I have a lot of faith in Montgomery. I think he's, for a rookie, he's a smart guy. I think he's going to develop faster than most, and that helps out a lot. Obviously Miles White is a guy that, suddenly is a little more on that bubble now, and he can prove himself. But Janis is my focal point at this point. I think he has the most to prove in the next two preseason games.
We're talking to Kevin Holden of Telemundo, Wisconsin, and the CBS affiliate in Milwaukee here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Mr. Holden, let's turn to the defensive side of the football. Are we going to see Clay Matthews for the first time in a preseason game on Saturday?
Yeah, this is a completely different philosophy now. Offensively, with Nelson out, the dominoes have fallen, and they don't want to see much more from that established offensive unit. Defensively, I think it's essential that we see some of these guys. Clay Matthews probably at the top of that list because we've seen so little of him to this point, even in practice.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big part for this team. Matthews is a veteran. He doesn't need a ton of time to get ready for the season. But I think this is one case where, whether you're a fan or whether you're a coach, to see him on the field against somebody else, to see him go after another quarterback, even if it's just a couple of times, that'll put your mind at ease and help you feel like this guy is ready to take the regular season at full speed. Because the truth is, with his moving inside and outside, I think Clay becomes it's not that he's a better or worse player. I just think he's more essential if he's going to be doing that. You're counting on him to do a lot in a couple of different positions, inside and outside. And there's a little bit of learning with that. Something he could demonstrate that he's picked up if he does well in the last two preseason games.
All right. In the secondary, the Packers got all these rookie cornerbacks, and they've been pretty impressive so far during training camp. What role do you think these guys will be playing during the regular season?
Yeah, that's it's interesting because usually when you lose two guys and draft two rookies, your first thought is, okay, first round pick and second round pick are going to be, counted on right at the front end of the secondary. But the truth is, even with the losses that they've had, you look at if you're just talking about four members of the secondary, you still have Hayward and Shields at corner, and you still have Burnett and Dix at safety.
Mm-hmm.
You still got some good presence there with those four guys. So the truth is that the rookies don't have the same kind of pressure that they might in a secondary that doesn't have that kind of veteran presence. That having been said, though, I thought that in the first preseason game that Rollins was impressive to me. I liked the way he was just always around the football. Randall looked really good against the Steelers. And, man, if you don't like Ladarius Gunter, you're not watching the preseason. He's been impressive every time he's been around the ball. Somebody asked me the other day, imagine this. Somebody asked me the other day if Gunter is going to be the best of the three to start the season. That's an undrafted guy against a first-round pick and a second-round pick, and they want to know if he's going to be the guy to be the most impressive. That's how good he has been in this preseason. Gunter's the guy that's got me excited, and he wasn't even drafted. Crazy.
Yeah, it's fun to watch these kids out there. I think they're doing really, really well. A couple personal questions, Kevin. I know I'm curious about, and if I am, I think other people might be as well. So you do the broadcast on Telemundo during the preseason, but I guess, why is it limited to the preseason and not the regular season?
Yeah, that's a very good question that we get a lot this time of year. We have so much fun doing these preseason broadcasts, and this is our fourth year doing them on Telemundo, Wisconsin. But unfortunately, it's a rights thing, much in the way that in the English side of things, when you get to the regular season in the English broadcast, it's handled at the national level, right? It's usually mm-hmm. either a Fox game, CBS game, and then you might get one or two that are either ESPN or NBC if they're prime time.
Yep.
The rights for the regular season in Spanish are handled in the same way. Telemundo at the national level does that. So unfortunately, it's something that that we're not able to be a part of. We would absolutely love to do it. I'd love to be able to sit in that booth and call that action all 7 or 16 games of the regular season too. But yeah, it's the term, it's above our pay grade. That's what it is. It's above our level.
And then on top of that, how do you balance your job with those, duties you have at the CBS affiliate in Milwaukee? And as I understand, you also do Brewer games as well. I'm not sure you do all 162, but maybe you can kind of enlighten me.
Yeah, that's on the Brewers side. We do, for Telemundo, we do all the Sunday home games. That's
okay.
13 games. And then there's a Spanish radio station as well in Milwaukee that I'll jump over and do some stuff for as well. So that adds another maybe 12 games. All the day games are available in Spanish, basically. So
okay.
It is... it's unique. I got to tell you, and I've been in this business for a while and bounced around from spot to spot through the years. I have never had the kind of challenge that I've had with the Telemundo stuff. One of the most rewarding things and challenging things that I've ever done, for example, on Sunday afternoons when we do these Brewer games, they start at 1, but I still have the duties of being the sports anchor on the CBS station, CBS 58 in Milwaukee. At 5:30. So when those games end, now I of course I obey all traffic laws. But
you get a police escort.
But yeah, it is a rapid run back to the station, and I usually have less than an hour to completely put together the show. And of course, you know, for me, a lot of times that involves you stack the show, you decide what goes in, you write it. Sometimes I'm editing the show as well. So it's pretty crazy, and I have to tell you one other really funny story. You remember there was a game that the Brewers played against the Diamondbacks in late May, 17-inning game that went 6 hours. You remember that game?
Yep, I do.
That was one of our broadcasts on Telemundo. It overlaps with the 5:30 news on CBS 58, and we did something that day that I never thought was possible. The engineers did some working, and thank goodness they do that stuff because I wouldn't know what buttons to push. But I did the sports for CBS 58 from inside the Telemundo booth, standing next to Hector Molina, who was calling the game. So I'm standing and facing the camera, you know, away from the field, and sitting next to me is Hector looking back at the field and calling the action. At the same time, we were going two languages in the same booth at the same time. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, I think you're doing a great job, so keep it up. And I hope someday, who knows, maybe we can get you on during the regular season on Telemundo somehow. One final question before I let you go. In Spanish, is it... ear pack ear, the go pack go. How does that translate?
you're using the word to go. Yeah, that's it. Usually you would say vamos, as in let's go. That's a pretty good way to do it. But and if you're saying anything in Spanish, it's much appreciated. That's been the best part about all this is fans that watch us and respond to us, and you know we're spreading some extra fun, something, an extra element, doing the Packers in another language.
Very good, very good. I'm learning too. Vamos, Pack, vamos. All right, Kevin. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been fun to talk to you and get a little preview of the game here. I'd love to do it again sometime, and have fun Saturday night.
Brian, much appreciated, and absolutely, man. Anytime. Let's talk to Packers.
All right, sounds good. Kevin Holden of Telemundo, Wisconsin, joining us here at a Friday morning on Railbird Central here at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well this morning. That's really cool to get that insight into. I don't think a whole lot of people see the Spanish language broadcast. I mean, first of all, it's kind of on one of those over the air on those sub channels and on Charter cable. But it's cool that the Packers are kind of creating this initiative just in the past 4 years. And I think that's really neat. And it's great to talk to Kevin Holden. But let's continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
So the news coming down on Thursday, LaTroy Guyon's suspension is upheld by the NFL. He will be out the first 3 games of the season. I mentioned it before. I think the impact is, you know, I'm worried about the first 3 games of the regular season that he'll be out when the Packers face, you know, maybe the 3 best running backs they'll face all year. Matt Forte of the Bears, Marshawn Lynch of the Seahawks, Jamal Charles of the Kansas City Chiefs. Is it the, you know, I, I, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit in that it scares me. It's a concern, no doubt. I mean, is it the biggest concern ever? Perhaps, maybe not. In fact, I asked on Twitter, you know, what's your level of concern with Guyon being out and facing these running backs? Is it a concern to you or not? So some of the responses I got, just a few here from Evan on Twitter. Nah, Guyon is a nice player, but when did he become vintage Warren Sapp? Kathy Witkowski on Twitter says, better to say why not to me, as I am in the cross training will prevail camp. Lots of shifting will be happening. All 22 NFL Insight says, no, BJ Raji, Mike Pinnell, and Clay Matthews inside will do enough. It won't be pretty, though. Louis Malaskak says, I think he's a better pass rusher than he is a run stuffer, in reference to LaTroy Guyon. So there's just a couple comments from Packers fans on the suspension of LaTroy Guyon being upheld after appeal on Thursday. We've known this for quite a while. Now it finally became official, you know, after the appeal was heard, what the outcome will be. I think some people were holding out hope that the suspension may be reduced, especially after Guyon came to a plea deal in which charges were dropped and he just paid a fine. But that wasn't the case. Suspension upheld out the first three games of the season. Along with Dayton Jones for the season opener, Packers going to be a little short on defensive line depth. They do get to replace them. There are exemptions for on the roster as long as suspended players are out. So the Packers, you know, they got two suspended players. They can technically keep 55 players on the roster. Obviously Guyon and Jones can't play, but when they do come back, the Packers would have to clear space on the roster. That'll be very interesting how the Packers handle that at the beginning of the year. But the other big news on yesterday, maybe not big news, but news nonetheless, the Packers signed a rookie free agent wide receiver, James Butler, out of Louisiana Lafayette. Kind of weird, I think, a little bit that, obviously there's the injury to Jordy Nelson, and that happened back on Sunday. We knew he was out for the season by Monday. A little bit weird that the Packers waited so long. You know, heck, they had practices on Tuesday and Wednesday this week. I mean, why not make a move right away? You got a chance, an opportunity to look at this guy all week and see what he's got. Because really, now there's not much time for James Butler to impress. Not at all. It was weird. He was signed so late in the week. The Packers technically have a practice today on Friday, although it is the shortest of the week. And I don't know if the kid's going to be ready to playing a game by Saturday, by tomorrow, just because I don't know how much he knows about the offense yet. I'm sure they can teach him a couple plays and maybe you'll see him out there just a tiny little bit. But the Packers have to reduce their roster to 75 players after Saturday's game. The deadline is this upcoming Tuesday. Is it August 31st or September 1st? I forget off the top of my head what the precise date is there. After the third preseason game, before the fourth preseason game, got to trim that roster down by, I think they're up to 88 players now, still two under the limit. You know, they're not probably going to go to the limit by in time for, what's the use now when you just got to reduce it anyway in a few days. But James Butler, I don't know how long the Packers will he be signed today and then just cut by Tuesday? I'm not sure, but they want to get a look. The one thing I did note, at our post at Cheesehead TV, 24/7 Sports, so used to saying Cheesehead TV, James Butler has very much the very similar size dimensions to Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson, 6'3", 217 pounds. James Butler is 6'2", 215 pounds. And believe me, I'm not saying James Butler is going to be Jordy Nelson. Not in the least. But as I've mentioned on the show before, the Packers have an abundance of smaller, quicker wide receiver slot types on their roster. You're looking at Randall Cobb, Ty Montgomery, Miles White, Jared Abradaris. All these guys kind of fit that prototypical slot type a little bit better than they do the perimeter guy. And so I think the Packers think they should be looking at somebody who's maybe a little bit bigger, maybe a little bit more of a possession type receiver on the outside. And I think that's what they're looking at Butler. Now, the question just is there time enough to even get a look at him? Who knows? Maybe they got they like him and think maybe he could just be kept on the practice squad and kind of developed and brought along. We will see. But that leads us into the next segment on the show.
The day ahead.
So today on Friday, it's the final practice of the week. In our Packers calendar post at 24/7 Sports, I called it the dress rehearsal for a dress rehearsal. The third preseason game has kind of been, thought of as the dress rehearsal for the regular season. Typically, all things being equal, in a perfect world where everybody's healthy, it's kind of thinking that, every preseason game kind of builds up the starters play a little more up till the third preseason game when they, play half. They actually probably go through a halftime and play into the third quarter and then come out. And so it's kind of the closest thing you would see to a regular season game. Now, that might be put to the test in Green Bay on Saturday night where Aaron Rodgers is working behind an offensive line that's without three starters. You may not see him at all. Who knows? Maybe you'll see him for a series and come out. The Packers haven't really said definitively one way or the other. So interesting to see what'll happen there. Whether you call this a dress rehearsal or not, I do think you'll see the Packers starters on defense for a little bit longer, like we were talking about earlier. I think it's important to see Clay Matthews at least a little bit. Maybe not for an entire half, but at least to see Clay Matthews getting a little more action than Aaron Rodgers, at least. I think he could need it. He hasn't played a snap this preseason. He could stand to get build a rapport with Sam Barrington, seeing as those guys really didn't get a ton of time together last season. Yeah, they got a little bit. And Clay Matthews has kind of acknowledged he's felt like a rookie at times during the offseason, he said, and at times he didn't know what he was doing last year at inside linebacker, why he was doing things, why he was being asked to, fill certain roles. And I think that's important that he gets some game time experience. So we'll see, whether that dress rehearsal holds true. For Sarah, regardless, the Packers practice on Friday, their final practice the day before a game. This one is don't go to Green Bay hoping you'll see it. It's going to be held indoors inside the Don Hutson Center, not open to the public. That's typical, though, of every practice the day before a game. It's always closed to the public. I think they just want to, they don't want everything publicized, game plans, things like that, the day before a game, and who's playing, who's not, things like that. And they just want players focused without any distractions. That's what's happening on Friday. I know on Friday evening, Green Bay Packers former safety Leroy Butler will be representing the organization at the M&M annual tailgate fundraiser in Menominee, Wisconsin. Menominee, Michigan. It's right across the border from Wisconsin. So if you're interested or in the area for that, that's happening Friday night, and that's what's in our Packers calendar for today in the day ahead. Over the weekend, preseason game Saturday, preseason home opener at Lambeau Field against the Philadelphia Eagles. Are you excited to see Tim Tebow in action as the Packers face the Eagles? It's always a little bit interesting to face the Eagles because of
Coach Chip Kelly, and maybe they run the read option a little bit more than any other team in the NFL. Not like they, you know, run it a ton by any means, but you can always, you know, perhaps be thrown a monkey wrench into things, and things could be a little bit unpredictable with Chip Kelly at the helm. But that's a good thing in a preseason game. It makes you be on your toes and makes you be prepared a little bit. So it should be fun, even if we don't see the starters long, to see these guys fighting for jobs on the bubble Saturday night. You know, the rookie cornerbacks, to watch them will be fantastic action. The inside linebackers, the guys like Carl Bradford and Jake Ryan, you know, fighting for jobs, and see what they do. So a lot of fun things to look forward to, regardless if you're a diehard Packer fan and are trying to figure out the guys further down the depth chart. With the defensive line suspensions, you're looking at guys who you know, looking to replace Latroy Guyon, guys like Christian Ringo and Bruce Gaston on the defensive line. These guys will be seeing more time Saturday night than they probably will during the regular season. So a lot of things to watch. So that'll do it for today's episode, folks. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here on a Friday morning. We'll be back again on Monday, as we are every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. Thank you to Kevin Holden of Telemundo, Wisconsin, and the CBS affiliate in Milwaukee for joining us today. My call to action, as usual, if you've not done so already, and a lot of you have, and thank you, this show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. The one small thing we ask: give us a rating on iTunes. Helps get the word out about the show. You know, helps, you know, in terms of iTunes ratings, when people search for Packers Podcast, you know, the more comments we get, the more ratings we get, the more thing, you know, more often that's like the first thing that appears when people are out there searching. We want them to, you know, discover the show and realize it's one of the best Packers podcasts out there on the internet. So please do that. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Hard Livin' by Railroad Earth on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack. Go.